You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want to try to explore this phenomenon that seems to be prevalent all over the place, that people are so willing to believe almost anything they hear. And the wilder it is, the more willing they seem to be to believe it. There are also some other parameters here. It seems that if somebody hears it on the radio, they automatically assume that it's true, whether it is or not. And if they see it on television, it's gospel fact never to be questioned. If it was faxed to them, it is... Well, I got it off the fax network. It's got to be true. How many times have you heard that? If it even has the slightest appearance of being an official document, then without any doubt whatsoever, it's fact. Now, I'm saying all this tongue-in-cheek, folks. I'm not telling you that if it looks like an official document, it's fact. I'm telling you, this is what people think. How did we get to this point where so much deception is believed by so many? Over a 3-month period, about 4 years ago, just to test and see how much of the stuff that was flowing around was true, this was about 4 years ago. We were plugged into the Patriot Facts Network and a whole bunch of other things, and we were listening to broadcasts, and people were sending us things every day, and they still are. But over a 3-month period, we examined every piece of paper that we received. We examined every fact that was, everything that was alleged to be fact on talk radio. And, we examined all the rumors and things that were flying around that people believed. What we found out was amazing. For those 3 months, we actually researched, investigated, and went to the source for every single one of those things. And what we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, is that about 99% of all of it, every bit of it, could have been 98.5%, was false, was a lie, was a fraud, was an out-and-out fake, was a deception, sometimes intentional disinformation put out by people to manipulate the minds or the thinking of the target audience. Most of it, we found, was just rumor. Hysterical, outlandish, outrageous rumor. Some of the things were pieces of fact. In other words, things taken out of context that if they had been left in context would have had a completely different meaning. What I would like to do tonight is explore with the listeners of this broadcast how people are so easily, are so willingly fooled. And what makes us that way? And don't think that I'm talking down anybody, because I used to be that way too until I got my head together. See, for most of my life, I was just like everybody else. Until some things happened, some significant and major events in my life that shook me awake. Literally. And rearranged my brain cells to the point where I didn't believe anything anymore and still don't, unless I can prove it, or unless somebody can prove it to me. But even if they can, I'll take their so-called proof and I will research it myself to see if it really is proof. And sometimes I find that it is, and sometimes I find that it isn't. And there came a point in my life where I went in the bathroom and closed the bathroom door and looked myself in the mirror and admitted to myself, right there, Bill, you've been stupid and ignorant for most of your life. Thinking that you knew everything, you didn't know anything. Now everything that you've ever been taught seems to be the opposite of what you always really thought it was. Now that was hard to do. That's hard for people to do. It was hard for me to do. But I understood that unless I did it, nothing was going to change. My thinking wasn't going to change, and the way I lived my life wasn't going to change, and the way I treated information and acted upon it was never going to change unless I made that confession to myself and realized that it had to change. I mean, it's one day I realized that I was ignorant. That I had been taught a lot of lies throughout my life and made some assumptions on those lies that created other lies in my own mind. One of which that when I volunteered to go fight in Vietnam, somehow I was fighting for freedom and defending this country. And that was not true at all. And some old ghosts came back in my mind. Just the other day, I was watching one of the mothers, the mother of one of these three soldiers who have been captured by the Yugoslavian forces. And she said on television that she was proud of him. She was proud of the fact that he was over there fighting for our country. And I cringed. Because I heard echoes of my own pronouncements in my youth when I was in the military service and volunteered to go fight for my country in Vietnam. And I felt sorry for her because she really believed it, and it is a lie. None of those men over there are fighting for this country. They're fighting for world government, for the new world order. They are fighting under a foreign command. Now, the Communist News Networks has the sheeple pretty much fooled into thinking they're fighting for the United States of America because the commanding general is General Clark. But General Clark answers directly to the head of the NATO Council, who is a Spanish Marxist globalist New World Order proponent. All of them, whether they are so-called peacekeeping troops in Bosnia, Macedonia, or anywhere else, or whether they're in the NATO forces attacking the nation of Yugoslavia, they are all United Nations world government troops. They are not fighting for this country. I may have been the only one watching that broadcast who realized it. I hope that that's not true. I hope that many other people realized it, but I don't see any indication of that. But this poor woman was under the delusion that her poor son was captured by an enemy force while he was fighting for his country. And that was a lie. And so I'd like to, I really want to explore this tonight. I want to get your input. I want to find out some of the things that we've been led to believe that are not true. I remember one night listening to Mark Kornke's intelligence report. And he was telling everybody that the United States military was going house to house in the southeastern United States confiscating guns. It was a lie. I knew it was a lie the moment I heard it on the radio, but it persisted for weeks, and they gave reports on the progress of the seizure of weapons from the hands of Americans in these house-to-house searches in the southeastern United States. And some deluded idiots even began calling into other radio shows and begin to say that they were witnesses, that they had seen it, and that they had had their own guns confiscated, and streets were blocked off, and there were military people standing on the corners. And I know a lot of you listening to this broadcast tonight remember this. And I'm just using this as one instance. It was a lie. Not only was it a lie, it was an intentional lie. Another lie was that United Nations troops had invaded, along with tanks and armored vehicles and everything else, had invaded Andrews, where the federal law enforcement officials were looking for the suspect of the bombing of that abortion clinic. That was another lie. And there's many, many more that I can cite, but I want you to call in when I open the phones, not before, and tell me some of the tales that you've heard, where you heard them from, and that turned out to be false. And I want to hear from you whether you believed it or not, and why, or why you didn't, and what you thought when you found out that it was false, and whether or not you were so willing to believe that source again. What I've experienced is that the same people are believing lies over and over again from the same sources all the time and don't seem to ever put two and two together that, hey, you know, the last 15 things this guy's told me has been a lie. Why am I believing this guy? And then he tells another one and they fall right in and believe him again. One of those is Art Bell. Art Bell does it almost every night. He turned a harmless meteor shower into an alien invasion one night, and I heard people calling in panicking. There was even a truck driver who said on the air while he was talking to Art Bell, he says, you know something, I saw these things come down, and I thought it was just a meteor shower until I heard your broadcast, and now I'm scared. Remember that? Remember recently on April the 1st, the morning of April the 1st, his power went out? And he claimed that it was the failure of the power plant because of Y2K, because April the 1st is the day that they went over to the fiscal year, and 2000 was now the year. Well, we have a lot of listeners in Pahrump, right where Art Bell is. They were absolutely amazed because their power didn't go out, and they get power from the same power plant. And so a little investigation showed that a cat had climbed up on a transformer and shorted out the transformer in Art Bell's neighborhood. But Art Bell on the air said it was because of Y2K, and the whole area of Nevada had gone dark. He lied. Plain as day, plain as the nose on his face, he lied. And by the way, the fiscal year for many companies and corporations did click over on April the 1st, ladies and gentlemen. And as far as I know so far, nothing has failed because of Y2K, even though they're now actively using the date 2000. Don't believe me? Check it out for yourself. It's true. Remember, they were all saying that the failures would begin in January. Well, there were no failures in January. Then they said the failures would begin April the 1st when many companies and power plants and transportation organizations began to go into the new fiscal year, which would be actively using on their computers the date of 2000. Well, April 1st came along and nothing failed then either. Now they're telling you what? And everybody's still going off the deep end. Hysteria. Also, on April 1st, or just before April 1st, Art Bell said on the air that his website had been hacked by the Yugoslavian Serbs, and his whole website had been replaced with a page that they put there. He lied to his audience and later confessed that it was an April Fool's joke that he had captured their webpage and put it up there himself. Him and what's his name that runs his website? I could go on and on and on. Bo Greitz, Bobo Grits, as we call him here. Bobo, because he is a Bobo for thinking that all of us are so stupid as to hear him constantly contradict himself and lie repeatedly that we're going to continue to believe him. And he's Grits because when the majority of patriots find it out and the proverbial buffalo chip hits the fan, they're going to eat this guy for breakfast, and where I come from, that's Grits. It is absolutely amazing how this is carried out and how people believe it and rave and rant and get scared and do crazy things and pass this stuff on. Now, the purpose of this broadcast tonight is not to ridicule anybody. I just want to explore how this happens and how we can get it to stop. And to do that, we're going to have your participation. I need you to call in and say, hey, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was listening to so-and-so, or somebody handed me a piece of paper, or I got this over the fax machine, and I believed it. And I went and did this, this, and this, and we were getting all prepared for this, this, and that, and then all of a sudden we found out it wasn't true, or the date came and went, and nothing happened. And so this is what I thought about it then, and this is what I'm doing about it now, or however you want to treat this. I want to try to get at some of the root reasons. Why is it that we buy this stuff? Why is it that everybody I've ever asked about Stanton T. Friedman, if they were a used car dealer, would they buy a car from him? They say no, but they believe everything he says about flying saucers. If you wouldn't buy a used car from Stanton T. Friedman, why in the world would you buy a flying saucer? You see, these are the things that I can't understand that I would like to reach some kind of understanding about tonight. If we can't understand why something happens, then we can't combat it properly to make sure that it doesn't happen. And so while you're listening to this, and I go get me some ice water, you guys can prepare and figure out, you know, what you're going to talk about when you call in, and we'll get the show on the road. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Jeffrey in New Orleans.
Hi, Jeffrey. You're our first caller for the night. You know the parameters of the subject, right?
I certainly do, and it's right up my alley because I've been through a lot of those experiences, and I can tell you why these things happen and give you some examples.
Okay, go for it.
First of all, you pointed out on your show about how many people are subject to living as they did in high school.
Yes.
High schools do not teach people how to do research or teach people that the different people have different viewpoints and that they have to find out how to think. And people are not taught logic except in college. And, of course, being objectivist-based and being a follower of Ayn Rand, I'm very well familiar with the damage that that kind of philosophical problem does to people. Let me give you a brief example of an incident that occurred this week.
Okay.
Tuesday, on a show entitled Information Wars over Republic Radio Network and Chuck Harder's For the People, both commentators stated that a decision, Wyoming versus Houghton, I think that's what it is, allowed the government to enter your car and search you personally for contraband if you were carrying it on your person. Well, I got scared, of course, because I thought that they might want to search me, and if they found the kind of cane that I use, they might confuse it for a gun and try to shoot me. So what I did Wednesday morning, thanks partially to you and also thanks to a lot of other things, I went to the law library and got the decision and read it. It's actually almost as bad as they said, but not exactly the same. The decision actually involves the permission of the government to allow police to search cars in terms of your baggage or your belongings for what they call contraband. The decision is based on the comparison of an automobile to an 18th century ship and the comparison of the police force to the U.S. customs agents who can go into a ship and search the ship without warrant. Now, the problem with the decision, of course, is that this does give police expanded powers to search your belongings, claiming that you are guilty of the same offense that the police are accusing the driver of, and this is specifically applies to drugs. There is a limitation, however, in Dyer, D-Y-R-E, I believe it is, 333, which was made in 1948, in which the police are prohibited from personally strip searching you under those kinds of situations. But still, it's bad because the fact is that we have allowed our government to become a government of court decisions and not constitutional citations. But the real point is that you cannot allow these scaremongers to come at you with all of these summaries and so on when even they get it wrong and try to overwhelm you with fear and smear, et cetera, et cetera. So I would have to say this: the lack of teaching logic in college and high school, the lack of application of it through objectivism, and the lack of exposing people to the fact that different people have different opinions and that they have to decide on the basis of fact alone is what's causing all of this problem. And that unless we go back to that kind of an education system, and unless we go back to demanding facts, not faith, we're not going to get anywhere.
Okay. So you're saying that people are just listening to this and assuming that the people rendering this information on the show are assuming that those people did the proper research and are just taking the ball and running with it like that.
That's correct, and this is true for most of the people who listen to the nightly news networks and all these other networks and don't bother to read different sources. And that's why you're seeing the disaster that you're seeing in Kosovo. That's why you're seeing the disaster with Chinagate and the rest, because the insiders can get away with everything they want to get away with because people aren't willing to recognize that you have to deal with facts, not opinions given by other people. And it goes back to high school where you're taught, do what the teacher tells you and accept what the teacher says or else. And that's the wrong way to teach it.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I think it goes a little deeper than that, though, and I'm not sure how or why. but I think it does. Because I'll tell you why. Not all of these things that people believe are presented as facts. They're hysterically delivered and aren't even, there are no facts even alluded to, and people will take the ball and run with it. Have you experienced that?
Yes, I have. I've experienced that sometimes with the many of the shows like David Smith's Newswatch and many of the religious prophecy people who claim that we're in the end time, et cetera, et cetera, and they don't bother to point out the problem of the Industrial Revolution that contradicts some of their own statements. And the joker is that they're using feelings to purport their own viewpoint, and feelings don't work. But too many people who are religiously based rely on feelings rather than reason, and the result is disaster.
Well, I think you've got something there. I mean, that's how old Bobo Gritz was convincing people to listen to him for a long time. He would go to one section of the country, and whatever religion was practiced there by those people, he would profess to be of that religion. He's professed to be... to have no religion at all when he went to Sedona and was speaking to a mostly New Age crowd who have shunned Christianity and Judaism and all of the standard establishment religious institutions, Mormonism and all of these other things. And he said that he had actually attended churches and studied different religions all his life and had never found even one that he could believe in. And so they were ready to accept his message because he presented no threat to them. When he went up into the Northwest and the North, actually the Western Plains states, he would identify himself as being Christian Identity. And a lot of those people are Christian Identity. And so he would get them to accept his message because he was one of them. And recently on his broadcast, he has been promoting all of the old boogaboo things that were rampant in Germany just prior to and during Hitler's rise to power. And all this time, actually, and in reality, he was an active practicing member of the Mormon Church. And when he would talk to Mormons, he would actually get up and cry real tears and say how thankful that he was to be a member of the Mormon Church. And I could go on and on and on and on. But that's one of the methods that deceives people, is that if they believe you're one of them, they will welcome and believe your message, when in reality, you may not be one of them at all.
That's correct, and that is one of the reasons why we have to be very, very careful of statements based on emotion. I'm going to let you go and let other people come in, but I figured I better get in on this thing at the first and give you this information.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that we tend to look for people who believe, as we do, either politically or religiously, and whether they're telling the truth or not, we tend to believe them simply because we consider them to be one of us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is John from Pennsylvania.
Hi,
I came to the same conclusion you did about the Patriot movement. I was very disillusioned after you chased these stories, just be one dead end after the next. And the one story that really convinced me was a Mark Wernke story. He had a radio communications expert on his show, and they were talking about the breakdown of society and how ham radios and so-called CB radios would help you in communication amongst your units or friends or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He said that we should take advantage of the repeater towers that are already in installation and used by law enforcement and military. So you should buy radios of their frequency so that you can take advantage of their repeater towers that line all the interstate highways all across the country.
Uh-huh.
And use their frequencies.
And?
Well, wait a minute. This is crazy. Who would be listening to it? Who has the equipment to monitor everything that's said?
Right on.
And then this...
And I wonder why he would be telling you to do that, knowing
Well, after
that.
I heard that, I said... there's more to this guy than what meets the eye.
Yes.
I had a caller called up and said, the first thing you want to do is take those towers out if you have any breakdown of society. That's their communication link. That would be the first thing you'd want to take out so they can't communicate, mm-hmm. not use their frequency. It's ridiculous. And Quarantine said, yeah, he's right. That's a good point. They just jumped back and forth.
Yeah. Well,
that conclusion I came to, Bill, I hate to say this, is I think the other side that we're actually fighting here actually has more credibility than the Patriot movement because they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, they do in some ways. In other ways, they manipulate the thinking of all of the people, not just here in America, but around the world. But if you even have half a brain, you can see through that manipulation. I mean, it's so childlike.
Right.
Really, it is. And it's just the repetition of the same thing over and over again. And if you've got a brain and you watch the pictures that they present and listen to what they say, sooner or later, you find out that these things are lies. And it's so easy for me to do. I just don't understand why other people can't do it.
Well, I think we're all pretty much on the same wavelength now. I think a lot of people have educated and come up through the ranks, and they're starting to see through the malarkey.
And well, good. I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I think we are. You're helping out a lot.
You know that the other day on CNN, on the 4 days, they presented a videotape of some atrocities that supposedly happened in Kosovo, and they said they happened on a certain date, and they weren't watching what they were doing. And right down in the lower corner of the videotape was the date that the videotape had actually been made, was months before.
Bill, they're the most well-dressed refugees I've ever seen. Those people look very healthy, and they look like they're well taken care of.
Not only that, but did you see the other day, I think it was Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, they were showing all these refugees coming in this big long line, and there was a line of women there who had bread. They were Albanian women who had come with bread, and they were handing out, they were sticking out this bread for people to take. Not one person took one loaf of bread. Not one.
Yep. It looks like more misconception here. Deception's the word.
Yeah, and they're trying to find all those refugees that were in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they ran out of money to pay them, and I think they all went home. That's what I think happened. I think they just all went home.
Yeah. Well, that's what it looks like. Looks that way. Okay, Bill, I'll let you go. I know you have a lot of callers.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. What personal experience can you give us? What swayed you to believe something at some point? How did you find out that it wasn't true, and what did you do about it? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Uh-huh.
I don't really have any story to tell, but I wanted to comment a couple other things. You just were talking about those refugees.
Yeah.
I also noticed that they were saying that it was old men and women were the only... that they didn't know what happened to the young men. And all the time that they're saying that, there's young men walking around in the film footage behind them.
All over the place.
In their 20s. And
yeah, hundreds 20s of them.
And 30s. And yet they were saying, standing right there, saying that there wasn't any young men or, men in the 18 to 25 or 38 range. But it was all women and children and old people.
Well, you know what?
All kinds of young guys, you know, in their 25s or 30s walking around in the crowds behind them.
Yeah, you know what happened, don't you? Remember the tractor with the old guy driving it with the women and children in the back?
Yeah, right.
They showed that for so many days they couldn't show it anymore, and they had to show all the young men, because if they showed that tractor one more time, people were going to start throwing things into their TV set.
I noticed that too. my young boy, I have a boy that's 12, and he said, hey, that's the same guy we saw the other time.
Yeah,
you know, the other place.
It's the same guy driving the same tractor with the same trailer with the same women and children in the tractor. They showed up for days and days and days. And
that's
they kept
right.
saying, these are new refugees who are coming across. And then they go to another location altogether, and it'd be the same guy driving the same tractor with the same trailer with the same women and children in it.
I also noticed, you know, that in the background there was people like strong-arming people, you know, like forcing people onto buses or whatever, people being forced to do things.
Yeah.
A lot of that. And the other thing I wanted to comment on...
And those weren't Serbs, and they weren't Yugoslavians. They were people in these refugee camps, supposed, after they crossed the border.
Right. The other thing I wanted to comment on all this, deception and bullshit that's out there. You know, I think that a lot of this is that people are running around spinning their tails, following these stories, and then eventually they find out it was a bunch of crap. And what happens is, I think that it's deliberate because someday they may be doing these things, and when the story comes out, everybody go, oh, it's not real, and blah blah blah, you know.
Well, that could be, but it's incumbent upon people to check things out and find out what's true and what's false. You can't dismiss things offhand unless you have some proof for it, and you can't accept things offhand either unless you have facts to prove it.
And there's a lot of ways to do that. For instance, like when that deal in Kingsville, Texas was started up with the helicopter thing.
Uh-huh.
I just called down there and found out, yeah, it was definitely going on. And then I called a toll-free guy that has a coin shop down there. It was a toll-free number, and I just called him for a couple minutes and asked him if it was really happening, you know. And I made a few phone calls like that. The other thing I've noticed, and I think it would be really good if I really do, I've noticed a lot of, I should do this, I've been collecting these toll-free numbers that they keep putting on the mouthpiece of the Communist News Network.
Uh-huh.
All these different socialist groups, I can't even think off the top of my head, but a whole collection of them. They're always putting these numbers up to call, right?
Yeah.
And, that just the other day they put one up, a group of tax consultants that you can call to help you with your April 15th deadline and all this other nonsense that they keep peddling.
Yeah.
And we should collect all those toll-free numbers and put them out, and everybody should just call them up and just bombard them with the truth, you know? They're nickel.
I don't know how much good that would do, but, you know, if people want to do that, that's certainly okay with me. We were talking about how these journalists are just, you can't rely upon them to tell the truth. I just discovered something, and I want to find out how many more people out there in the listening audience know about it. Does anybody know if Christiane Amanpour is married, and if so, who's she married to? Anybody know the answer to that?
I couldn't tell you, but I'll get off and see if somebody else is out there.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. We're exploring this deception and why people believe it. Why is it so easy for us to believe all these lies? And what do we do about it when we find out that they're lies? Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Calling from Canada, Bill. I happened to listen to RFPI on shortwave last night. You know who they are. Radio for Peace.
Radio for Peace International?
Yeah, in Costa Rica, okay?
Yeah.
And they were talking about Tim McVeigh and all these so-called hate broadcasts on shortwave. And guess who else who was included? Bill Cooper.
Oh, I wonder why. You know,
and they went on and on about the Oklahoma bombing, and they said Tim McVeigh was one of your regular listeners, and he also visited you in Arizona. Is that true?
Yes, he did, but I'm the one who announced it on the air and told the world.
Well, anyway, the way they put it, they connected you with the Oklahoma bombing as if you had something to do with it.
Well, you know what? If you can send me a recording of that broadcast, I will take it and shove it right up their ass.
Well, wish I had recorded it, but maybe somebody else did.
Well, I hope somebody did, because I will certainly do that. They have opened themselves up for all kinds of action if they made those kinds of connections.
Well, I just thought I'd let you know.
Lots of people have come to visit me. Most of them, some of the best people you'd ever meet in your life. Some of them raving maniacs. Some of them people that you have no idea who or what they are, because I'm on the radio. And they do the same thing with Rush Limbaugh and Ted Koppel and everybody else. And how would they know if Tim McVeigh listened to this broadcast?
Well, you know the spin that they put on their stories, and so they sort of connected you with the Oklahoma bombing.
Well, get that on tape, and I will make them eat it, literally. I will shove it so far up their ass they will regret it forever. I know who is back of this Radio for Peace International. It's not Radio for Peace International at all.
It's an Oregon outfit.
It's owned and operated by a bunch of Marxist, socialist, communist professors at the University of Oregon.
Right.
I know exactly who they are.
Uh-huh.
And they had better be cleaning that up real quick, because I'll have these people forking out money by the pile real fast if I can get that on tape from anybody.
Well, I hope I can get a tape, or somebody can.
Well, please do, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't you see, a lot of people, you know, fall down when these people do things like that. I don't. You take a shot at me, you're going to get shot back. If you're right, that's okay. But if you're wrong, you know, I'm gonna knock you down. And I'm going to knock you down really heavy and really bad. Radio for Peace International is a Marxist, socialist, communist group of professors who teach at the University of Oregon. It is a propaganda organization that is on the air only to try get people not to listen to those of us who are telling you the truth. And if you just listen to them for 5 minutes, you can pick this up. Unless you're completely and totally brain dead, you can see exactly where these lying creeps are coming from. But don't worry. Somebody get me a tape of that broadcast, and I will make them regret the day they were born if they made any such connection like that whatsoever. Good evening. You're on the air. How do you know that?
Oh, boy. I've read it somewhere.
You've read it somewhere?
Yeah, and if I don't have it, I didn't clip it out or nothing, but I believe
yeah.
That's who she's married to. They were making a big deal out of it when they were engaged about a year ago.
Yeah, well, you're right. So much for Christiane Amanpour's objectivity. She is...
I never did consider that she had any objectivity.
Well, she claims that she does, but she's just a puppet mouthpiece for the State Department.
And I remember, I think it was about a year ago when...
And her husband, James Rubin, is one of the biggest liars, slimy, snake, slippery guys that I've ever seen in my life. You can ask him a direct question, and he'll do a river dance for you all around the world, but he won't answer that question. He'll answer every other question that you didn't ask.
Yeah. Something else I've been wondering that I haven't had to check out yet, but are all these Rubens connected with the same Rubin that's...
I don't know.
Rectory of the Treasury?
I don't know.
There seem to be a lot of Rubens in this administration.
Well, there may be. I only know two. Which other ones do you know?
Well, I know at least those two.
Well, that's not everybody in this administration, is it?
No, but it's two Rubens in this administration, and I've heard of another Ruben that's also connected somehow.
Yeah, but that's a lot different than everybody in this administration is a Ruben. It's, you know, that's what we're trying to talk about on here.
Rubens in this administration.
Yeah, but why would you say that when it's not, obviously not everybody in the administration is named Ruben?
Well, I thought that I said a lot of them, not everybody.
Well, that's what it comes across as.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean it to come across that way.
I know, but that could mislead a lot of people.
We got to be careful.
You know, watch tomorrow. Somebody be calling somebody saying, you know, everybody in the administration's named Reuben.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
Only two for sure that I know of.
Yeah, well, it's the only two for sure that I know of. There's probably more. There's, you know, there's a lot of people.
And one of them is reported to be married to Christiane and Amanpour.
Yeah, well, she is.
And I believe they were engaged, I think when she was over there in Iraq doing that stuff.
Mm. Isn't it amazing how these things tie together?
Might as well all intermarry. They're all on the same side.
Well, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill, I was listening to VOA this morning, and they said on the Eritrean-Ethiopian border there's been the largest tank battle ever taking place. And in the last 4 days, 20,000 people have been killed. They said that the Eritrean forces were dug in, and you couldn't even see their tanks. And the Ethiopians came up through this minefield area that they funneled the tanks into, and they almost penetrated the built-in defenses by the Eritreans, and the tanks were some of them were less than 60 meters apart, blasting at each other, and 20,000 people have died in 4 days.
Where did you hear this?
This was VOA. At the
Voice of America?
Yeah, on 1600 Zulu time on 15410 today.
Voice of America is the propaganda arm of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Oh, I realize that. And but, you know, I just thought that that was very interesting that they would have that on, yet you wouldn't see it anywhere else broadcast.
Well, no, because it didn't occur. I can assure you it did not happen.
Oh, okay.
But I can see how they would want people in Yugoslavia to think that it was happening to scare them, you know. And I happen to know for a fact that Voice of America is now moving transmitters into place all around Yugoslavia, and they're going to start bombarding Yugoslavia with 24-hour-a-day propaganda broadcasts.
Well, they talked about on VOA yesterday that they were flying C-130s over broadcasting AM, FM, and television transmissions.
Yeah, it's all propaganda. Voice of America is like Radio for Peace International. They're just a bunch of bullshit, propaganda, lying, Marxist, socialist people who manipulate. They tell lies, they deceive, and they try to manipulate large populations into believing anything other than the truth.
Right. Two things that I'm off. One, that new VOA guy, that's the new chief administrator there, is company is Falcon Cable. It's supposed to be like the second largest cable company.
Uh-huh.
I'd suggest anybody that has Falcon Cable just cut that right away and do something else, but you don't got to watch TV anyway. Secondly, I'd like to point out, I wasn't sure if I heard it because I wasn't listening that long, if you had said that the Germans had everybody turn in their radios for FM radios for short-distance broadcasts so they could only listen to signals that were generated locally, that was during World War II, then that way they could control the people because no one could hear shortwave radios or anything like that, strictly FM only was I think, the law there.
Every oppressive regime that's existed since radio was developed has always tried to do that, but people in times of oppression have always hid their shortwave radios, and that becomes their source of news for large numbers of people. One shortwave radio might be the source of information for tens of thousands of people in one little area.
Can I quickly expand on that for a moment?
Sure.
I'm 43. When I was in about 8 years old, maybe 9 years old, we lived in Manhattan Beach, and we had people come down for the summer and rent beach houses. And this one family brought this huge radio with them, and you know, we'd go in there and listen to them, and if they were just, you know, come down for the week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember them telling me that was the radio that they listened. They were Dutch, and they'd hidden the thing in the cellar. And that was the radio that they listened to the news during World War II, so they took it with them because it was a definite piece of a part of their family.
Yeah.
Because that was what gave them the truth at the time of the terrible time that they had.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Good evening.
You know what's so laughable about this stuff is these clowns are so silly. I mean, you've all been listening to me for years. If I was going to do something, I would not blow up a federal building in Oklahoma City or have anything to do with it. I certainly wouldn't blow up children because I love children, and you all know that. If I really were to go to that kind of extreme, I'd blow up the White House. If I was going to become overnight a revolutionary and do something extremely violent, that's what I would do. I would go after the kingpins, not the poor people who are just working, trying to earn a living down in some building somewhere. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Canada, and I hope what I'm about to say is within the parameters of your broadcast tonight, to talk about why people are so willing to believe what they see, for instance, on TV. I was watching CNN the other night, and not CNN, pardon me, it was a local radio broadcasting channel 4 up here, and I watched some of the family members. It was a couple of sisters of one of these American soldiers who are purportedly abducted by the Serbian forces over there. And the camera must have not gave them the right cue, because just before they were interviewed, they were giggling and laughing and having a great old time as if they didn't have a care in the world. And then when the camera focused on them, and the interviewer started talking to them, all of a sudden their expressions of joy and laughter changed to tears and sadness. That told me something.
Well, good.
This is a setup.
Yeah, that's right. Most of it so far has been.
I don't know whether anybody else seen that particular interview.
I hope so. I think people need to start watching and thinking while they're watching, instead of sitting there in a trance, just absorbing whatever they're told.
Well, you just used the word trance, and before I called you, that was the word that I was going to use, but I forgot it. They don't think critically enough. They are sitting there, they're only seeing half the message, and they're really ignoring a whole lot of clues that reveal the truth about what really is happening.
Yeah, most people, when they watch television, they actually go into kind of a trance, and it's a receptive state where they're receiving information but not questioning any of it. I've watched this happen. I mean, they even look like they're in a trance.
Exactly. And another thing, in trying to find out the answer to why so many people are willing to be conditioned and brainwashed, is when you turn on the TV, it's a very easy thing to do. It's readily available. We need more people like yourself, where you reach more people than who you are. I mean, for instance, to bring you in on my shortwave radio, I really enjoy listening to you, but it's not that relaxing because I keep having to adjusting the dial. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I wish people like you, who are critical thinkers and who can educate the rest of us and teach us how this stuff is pulling the wool over our eyes. I just wish there was more messages like yours out there.
Well, I do too. It would give me some slack. It would give me a break. You know, I'm only doing this, really, because nobody else was doing it. I could not do it. There was a vacuum here.
Well, I certainly admire you, and I'd just like to say before I hang up, I appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and...
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again.
I appreciate that.
I know.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, folks, if I was going to turn into some violent person who was going to act something out, nope, I wouldn't go down and blow up a federal building. Uh-uh. No siree. I would take over the National Guard unit. I would arm those of like minds, and I would I'd do it seriously. I would attack the oppressors, not the poor people trying to make a living in some office somewhere. And, you know, I'll keep telling you what I would do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, you're talking about Christiane Amanpour.
Uh-huh.
And I heard it on it was a shortwave program last night.
I need you to talk a lot louder.
It was put out on a shortwave program last night. That's where I heard it, that she was married to Assistant Secretary of State James Rubin.
Yeah.
I've heard it, you know, from a different source than that one gentleman, so I assume that's true, but... In my opinion, Mr. Cooper, when you connect all the dots, it's very easy to see. It's the Jews, baby.
Oh, there's another fool. You know what? These people who say that, you know what religion they belong to? It's called Christian identity. And when you study Christian identity, ladies and gentlemen, guess what it is? It's the Jewish religion. It's the Jewish religion. And it amazes me that people who practice the Jewish religion and ignore the teachings of Jesus would hate the Jews when they claim to be the Jews. Isn't that amazing? They haven't got anything between their ears, except maybe oatmeal. I love it when they call up and make such fools of themselves. 520-333-4578. No, it's not the Jews. It's the fools. It's the fools. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, William.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
You're coming in like a local here.
Good. That's great. Where are you at?
Somewhere in North America.
Somewhere in North America?
Yeah.
Are you afraid somebody's going to find out where you're at?
Oh, they probably do.
How?
How?
Yeah.
Well, they just do. It's just...
I think you need a brain transplant, my friend. By telling me the town that you're in on the radio, nobody's going to find you in that town. Unless, of course, they trace the call. And you weren't smart enough to know that. You wouldn't give me the town or the port of the country you lived in. But you were smart enough to know that if they really wanted to know where you are, they'd just trace your call. I think they're having a sale on brains at Walmart. If you get down there real quick, you can get some. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Bill?
Yes?
I think the greatest thing that has skewered the Americans' thinking was the misrepresentation of the political scale. Could you clear that up once and for all and deduct and prove that the Nazis and the Nazi socialists are on the left and not the right?
Oh, that's easy to do. Hitler was a socialist. He admitted it. His party, the Nazi Party, was the National German Socialist Workers' Party.
Exactly.
The fight in Germany was not between the right and the left. It was between the socialists and the communists.
Right.
And the socialists did not understand Karl Marx's teachings that the whole purpose of socialism is to lead to communism.
Right.
And that's where the battle was. The battle was between the communists and the socialists,
well,
the Nazis.
Is the far end of the right at the right side of the scale.
That's right. The scales always have measured two opposites.
Well, I know that skewed my thinking for decades.
Well, it skews a lot of people's decade thinking. That's what people like Radio for Peace International are trying to do. They're trying to skew people's thinking to think that Hitler was on the right when Hitler was clearly a socialist on the left, just one notch above communism.
Exactly. And I commend you for making that clear. Also, I commend you on the ozone exposure.
Well, thank you.
That was one more item that had skewed our thinking.
Yep.
There must be millions of others like it.
Well, there are. That's what this broadcast is all about, to try to bring out the truth and bury the falsehoods.
Exactly. That's
hard to do.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good night.
And it's hard to do. You know, it was hard for me to jump on Annette last night because she's been a listener to this broadcast for many years. I happen to know she's a very nice woman. I happen to know she has a really good heart. But I also happen to know that she was lost in the deception of just believing what she was hearing and passing it on. And I couldn't let her get by with that, even though it hurt me to jump on her like I had to do last night, because it had to be done. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Yes, I wanted... I'm sorry, I'm turning in late. I didn't know if you discussed that explosion of that electrical plant in Tampa. They blew it up.
Who blew it up?
I don't know. I thought maybe someone had called in and told you. They blew up a huge electrical plant in Tampa, Florida, and wiped out the whole...
When? When?
Today. It was, it was around 11 o'clock today. The thing was in flames, and they were without power from northern part of Florida on into Georgia. Now, they put it on mainstream news media just for a few flash seconds, and it was on Channel 57, which is out of Rochester, New York.
But who blew it up? I mean, how do you know somebody blew it up? How do you know it wasn't an accidental explosion or something?
Oh, we don't know. know, but they said they thought somebody blew it up.
Well, don't be passing that stuff on.
I'm not passing it on. I'm asking you. I'm tuning in late to your broadcast. If anyone else had called in and reported it.
I haven't heard a word about it. I haven't seen it on any news.
On it on mainstream news media in this part of the country where I live.
Nothing. I have not heard a word.
But I'm not in Rochester. I live way on the outskirts of Rochester, 40 miles from Rochester.
And where's this? Where did this supposedly happen at?
Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Went off today.
No.
So if anyone knows anything about it, maybe they will call in and tell you about it.
Nope, I don't know a thing about it.
They
haven't heard anything
in Florida,
about it.
So I couldn't tell you, but they did put it on mainstream news media.